There are three preseason games down for the Chicago Bulls, and the Bulls sit at a respectable 2-1. On today's episode, I want to talk about some of the overarching takeaways and how they're going to play into the season for the Chicago Bulls. We're also going to talk about a Nick Claxton for Nikola Vucevic trade rumor, and Dalen Terry makes an adamant statement. And with how he got out of last night's game, I think we may have an enforcer. We're going to talk about all that, plus dive a little bit into the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Sir Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into the content for today, y'all. And another preseason game down, another slow start for the Chicago Bulls. And the Bulls have gotten out to double-digit deficits in each of these preseason games. Now, for what it's worth, we haven't had Coby White in a single preseason game yet. And I do think you can see where the Bulls are missing Coby White in this offense. Now, for what it's worth, players have taken have stepped up to take those shots between Trey and Modest, IO being aggressive coming off the bench, those type of things. It's not that the Bulls have had a reluctance of players as a collective to take shots, but I do think specifically how Coby plays in the pace, how he does create for others off those drives, all those type of things play a part into how Coby's presence could help off a stave off some of these slow starts. But it is, another slow start for the Bulls. They got to a 12-point deficit against the Milwaukee Bucks. They did end the quarter down by six. And they never meaningfully got the lead back. The most that the Bulls had the lead was a 3-point lead for 2 minutes and 44 seconds. So while I do think Kobe's scoring will help a lot, Kevin Huerter's shooting coming off the bench is going to help a lot as well. These are things that have plagued the Bulls for years. And, you know, it's one of those things with when you live by the three, you die by the three and those type of things. And the Bulls still early in this game were taking a lot of threes. Now, the benefit of it is they started attacking the rim a lot more in this game. They took 11 three-point shots in each of the first two quarters. By the third quarter, I think they only took five or six three-point shots. They were in attack mode, and that did help them get off the lead. And for what it's worth, this game was still a very winnable game until garbage time when the entire bench unit was out there of Javon Carter and players who, you know, Emmanuel Miller and other players who aren't going to be necessarily getting minutes into the rotation. So take that part for what you will, too. Because this has been something that we've seen from the Bulls for years, it's why I'm kind of harping on it. And I will admit it isn't harping on it, but it is something just to look out for. And I think it's something to keep an eye out as we get it. As Billy Donovan's already noted, every preseason game, the starters are going to play closer to their full rotation workload. So we'll see that continue to go in the right direction for the team, hopefully, and see this team continue to take those strides and those steps in the right direction. Like I said, still being in position to win the game. The last two games, even despite getting out to an early deficit, they did win the last two games as well. So, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. Now, we play again tomorrow against the Denver Nuggets before closing out preseason Thursday against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And as the starters play more, and especially if Coby does play that final preseason game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'd just be really interested to see if the Bulls play better in those games. And for what it's worth, there's some points to that they will. Last game, adapting to getting to the free throw line a lot more is huge. That's huge for a team like the Chicago Bulls that are trying to find their path. So I want to be clear here. There are some signs that they are already figuring this thing the hell out. And that's good. That's good that you want the signs to be there. Again, preseason is not always just about the result. It's also about what you're doing, right? It's also about the process. It's about those type of things. And for what it's worth, considering that the Milwaukee Bucks shot over 50% from 50% from three in the first half of this game. If they don't have that hot shooting in the first half of the game, it's a closer game down the stretch, right? So, you know, those are things to look out for. But the Bulls got to the free throw line 36 times, and they shot the ball 72%. Now, the Bulls were shooting 62% prior to that. And they didn't get to the free throw line nearly that amount of time. So the fact that they still took 41 threes in the game, but 22 of those came in the first half of the game. So, you know, it is what it is. They took less than 20 in the second half of the game, and they got considerably more free throw attempts. So that's how you can do that. And Vooch shot the ball terribly yesterday as well. He was missing wide open 3-point shots. So there's that part that played into it as well. But just the slow starts, watch out for that. We'll see how that goes. But one of the biggest things that I'm going to say this adamantly, and some people may think I'm saying this too strongly. Hey, that's on you. But I will say this. I would assume he probably should start, but he won't. And I think that he won't because of trying to bring balance off the bench. They want to trust Isaac Okoro to kind of focus on defense. If Iowa's in the starting lineup, he wouldn't have as many opportunities offensively, more likely. And thus, you're putting in the player in Okoro who doesn't need as many shots, but to still bring some good point of attack defense. But for what it's worth, Io Desumu is averaging 16 points on 66% shooting from the field, right? That's really good. The Bulls last night, for example, had a plus 23.5 net rating when he was on the court. And when you factor in, there hasn't been a single game this preseason where the Bulls have had a negative net rating when Io was on the court. Through three games, we have a positive net rating of 13.6 when Io was on the court. That is really freaking good. Io is having himself, like, he is settling into his role in the six-man role, and he's doing it offense and defensively. And that's the thing that makes it something that stands out, is the fact that it's not just defense. It's not inconsistent shooting either, right? He's shooting the ball pretty damn well from the field. Also, that 66% from the field is really good. And, you know, I know somebody's going to say, well, is that sustainable? Keep in mind, we've seen Io have over 50% shooting seasons. Like, he's always really been a smart shooter. He doesn't gamble a lot on the shots. Now, his three-point shot comes and goes. But overall, shooting from the field, Io has always had, you know, always been around 50% from the field. So, you know, if he brings that again for this team, I think that that's gonna be something that this team could absolutely use into there. Now, I'll say this, and I said this on yesterday's show, it is what it is. But to me, if the Bulls' slow starts continue, right, and let's say that they get into the season, you're talking about your 15, 16 games into the season, and slow starts have continued to be a problem for the Bulls, at that point, I probably would look to start Io. Even with needing that offense off the bench, I would probably look into it and consider it because it brings the balance of both for you. Okoro has shot the ball like 30% from the field so far, right? Now, I will say Okoro has been taking some shots, and shots that have been looked pretty good when he's taking them. So hopefully that starts regression to the mean, where eventually he starts hitting those at a better rate, and then we'll be fine there, and then you don't have to worry about it. But it is something to watch and monitor. But Io is having a big impact for this team. And like we said, even coming into the season, it's not necessarily about who starts, it's about who finishes. And so far, through three preseason games, Io has not only shown himself to be one of the most consistent Bulls so far through preseason, but I do trust him to be in that closing lineup because of his ability on offense, his ability on defense, and to just bring those things for the Chicago Bulls. If Io keeps this up, it's going to be a really big impact for this team, and it's something that I don't think you can really overlook if he's giving you that consistently. And that's why, even with Kobe out, with Kevin Huerter out, I do think the reason why Billy Donovan is keeping Io coming off the bench is because that, you know, he wants Io to settle into that role, to settle into that player that comes in and change the tempo, changes all the stuff about a team. And Io so far has really responded to that. Really great performances through Io through three preseason games. And he's looking like that shoulder ain't bothering him at all, which is really freaking good. Another takeaway, Modest Bouzelis. Modest looks really good through three games. I do still think that there is some of putting too much expectation in year two for Modest Bouzelis, right? This is my personal opinion. But when you look at it, let's look at the numbers. He is averaging 16.3 points per game on only 9 shots. Now, keep in mind, so many people have talked about, like I've talked about a lot, with when P. Will was the starter, he was only getting 9 shots, that 9 to 10 shots per game. That's what P. Will was getting, and he was giving us 9 to 10 points. Off the same shot attempts per game, Modest is now giving us 16 points per game. Now, again, it's preseason. Kobe's not out there, so the shots are going to change a little bit when Kobe's out there. He's also shooting 53% shooting from the field, 37% shooting from three. He's getting to the free throw line 4 times per game, and he's giving us 4 rebounds per game. The rebounds are the only thing I'm concerned about, right? As a power forward, I want Modest to be around 5 to 6 rebounds per game. And I think that's still kind of on the lower end of a starting power forward. Ideally, you want him more around 6 or 7 rebounds per game, ideally, right? But I'm trying to, you know, he's out there with Vooch, really good rebounder. We have good rebound. Everybody on the roster is a good positional rebounder. So I'm giving that caveat to this team specifically, right? But these numbers are really encouraging. And it's showing that what Modest can do with not really a whole lot more attempts. And I think that's a part that stands out a lot about Modest is that he's become a better shooter. He's being more efficient with the shots. He's not really getting a lot more shots per game. Now, it's preseason. And so he's not playing his normal minutes workload either. So there could be something to say, well, hey, if he's averaging 9 shots a game for preseason, that may shape up to be 11, 12 shots per game in the regular season. And you're not wrong. And if he maintains that efficiency, you could be looking at an 18-point-per-game season for Modest Bouzelas, right? Maybe something like that. But what Modest is showing growth offensively and shooting-wise, and he's showing growth defensively. Now, I will say this. Billy Donovan didn't trust him to guard Giannis in some of the most important times. He went to Okoro for that. Now, that's Okoro's role. His role is to be out there, and he said, I want to guard the other team's best player. So I don't know if I should judge him for that or if that's a scheme thing, but there's no doubt about it. Modest has gotten better defensively also. So as Modest is growing through this preseason as well, you know, it's really good to see that part from Modest Bouzelas as well. Like, Modest is growing in just about every facet of the game, and if that plays into the regular season and that maintains, we're going to have us a pretty good season for Modest. And then lastly, I know this is something that, listen, I don't want to talk about it because I don't know if I trust it or not yet. But Pete Will has looked pretty good. If you go over, like, the passive part is always going to be there. And I think when some people talk about Pete Will, they talk about him as, like, still, well, he's not being a fourth overall pick. That's not his role anymore. It's not. And I think that's actually highlighted. But what Billy Donovan said after the game, where Billy said this.
I see Patrick, you know, really being a part of that. But the other thing, too, is Patrick's minutes could change like anybody else's minutes can change based on who we're playing against and, you know, what the matchups look like and what the rotations look like. All that stuff's going to, for us, I think, would be pretty changeable throughout the course of the season, I think.
With Patrick, you know, I felt like he kind of had more of an imprint on tonight's game with 8 rebounds. But
yep.
The 5 assists kind of stand out. Is there, you know, you're talking about having multiple ball handlers out there. Do you kind of see him filling that kind of a role? And what's the trade? I mean, he also had, I think it was 4 turnovers. Like, what's the balance of having him do more but not too much?
Yeah, I think, like, the questions are great because I think that what we're basically talking about is consistency. Right, and that's what happens sometimes inside of our team. You know, is play can be inconsistent. Now, what you want to do is have the identity be consistent, but individual players' play can be sometimes inconsistent. You know, so I thought Patrick was aggressive. He did some good things. There was a couple careless passes. I know he would have liked to have had back. I thought he was aggressive going to the basket, trying to finish. He was a good matchup at times against Giannis. I felt like he tried to go to the glass. Right. So to me, as a coach, when you sit there working with these guys, you certainly you try to help them with their skill set. But as Casey and I were talking before the game, the skill set is purely based on the fact of making split-second decisions and reads on what's going on in the game. But there are things that he can control, in my opinion, on every possession. Like, he can get to the glass, he can get out in transition, and he can be like, he can do that. But the other parts of that, sometimes that's where when you got a young team, there's going to be these ups and downs and waves of development and growth out of these guys. And that's kind of, you know, I've seen growth in Patrick, and I thought, like, tonight he played well. I know that the turnovers, you know, I didn't like. There was a couple of them I thought were a little bit careless that I think he even knew that he made a mistake on, but he was around the basket offensively. He was on the glass defensively. He was guarding. He did a good job. I thought the threes that he took that were there, he took them. So, like, I thought he did a really good job tonight, you know, and the thing you want to do is try to stack games together. You know, I've always said the best players in this league, if you take 10-game increments, there's, like, one game out of 10 they don't play well. You know, and that's, you know, when you're looking at players, that's what they're all striving to be, is the more consistent part of it. And that's what we're working for Patrick on. So, like, as it relates to his rotation or his minutes and things like that, a lot of it's going to be how consistent he's playing in the game. You know, if he's playing really, really well, certainly you want to go out there and play. But if it's like it's not going well for whatever reason for anybody, we may have to go with somebody else at some time, you know. And, you know, at times on the bench, you're quite honestly guessing, you know, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
And I think that those comments from Billy Donovan highlight how the expectation for P. Will now isn't to be a starter. It isn't to be the fourth overall pick. It isn't to be the next coming for the Chicago Bulls. His job right now is to be a role player. That's what I got from that almost over 2 minutes that Billy Donovan was talking. That sounds like, hey, this is a player that is a role player for us. This is his role. And if he's not performing pretty well in that, he may not get those minutes. They may be hard to come by. If he is doing what we need him to do well, those minutes are going to be there for him. That's what I took from that. But you guys can let me know what you take, what you took from that. Absolutely. But I think that that just lays out a clear path of, hey,
if you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You will. If you want to get in the game, if you want to perform for us, this is what you got to do. And we'll see if he can do that, if he can do it consistently, right? But those are some of my takeaways. Not all of them. If you want kind of more details about the game specifically, go and listen to yesterday's post-game show where I get into those things specifically. But I want to move on from this. So there was a trade proposal that was put forth by Bleacher Report that was Nick Claxton for Nikola Vucevic. Almost straight up, the Bulls would be given the Portland pick for Nick Claxton. And the question that you have to ask yourself here is that if this is the trade that the Bulls do, A, Vuce is an expiring contract, so you're viewing it as an expiring. And secondly, is Nick Claxton, is he better or is as good? I think that's the thing we always look at. I think we like to talk about things as this holy, like, is he just better, right? Is Nick Claxton as good as anything that we could possibly get with the Portland pick? Which, keep in mind, it's lottery protected, which means even if we do get it, it would mean that the Portland Trailblazers made the playoffs, and therefore it the highest that it could be is 15, right? That's the highest that pick could be is 15. I'm sorry, that's wrong. Yeah, no, 15th, that's right. Numbers don't always work for me. So that's what you're looking at for that one, right? And so let's look at what Nick Claxton has been for his NBA career. Claxton has been a 10-point-per-game player with 7 rebounds, 1.5 blocks per game. He shoots the ball 63% from the field for his career. He doesn't take threes, right? He is a very defensive-focused, lob-threat big that can protect the rim. And he, other than his rookie year, he's averaged over a block per game every single year. As a matter of fact, he's had 2 years where he's averaged over 2 blocks per game. Claxton is the type of center that absolutely this Bulls team needs going forward, right? The question is it worth giving up that? And I'll tell you this. Yeah. I mean, just like I would give up that pick for Walker Kessler, I'm not mad giving up the Portland pick if it means you getting Nick Claxton and changing it. Now, if you do that, though, I want to be clear here. If that's what you do, you are then relying much more on a player like Modest to take a step offensively. And if the Bulls were to do this trade, for example, tomorrow, where they traded Nikola Vucevic for Nick Claxton, I then would want Io DeSumo in the starting lineup. And the reason why, that little bit of offense that you lose from Vooch, Io can replicate that. Between Io and Modest, they can make up for what we're missing offensively for Vooch. That's what I would want to do. I don't know if Billy Donovan would do it. You would then have a point of attack defender with Okoro and Nick Claxton there. Nick Claxton also has a declining contract, $25 million this year, $23 million next year, and then $20 million in 2027. Why I like that for the Chicago Bulls is by the end of Nick Claxton's contract, you have to extend Modest Bouzelis. And therefore, Nick Claxton's money would come down at the same time Modest Bouzelis' money would go up. I like that, right? So that's something to look at there. And I think that's a poignant part, is that if you get into that space and even with next season, with extending Io or extending Kobe, you get a little bit more on the salary cap with that, right? And I do think he's less than Walker Kessler. He's not as good of a rim protector, not as good of a rebounder as Walker Kessler, but he's going to projectedly make between $5 and $10 million less than what Walker Kessler is expected to get on his next deal. And so you're getting savings there. I'm not mad at Nick Claxton. I do think the Bulls would have to change what they do in the half court a little bit more. But I do like I envision a lineup at times of Modest, Noah Essanay, Nick Claxton. That again, much like I said with Walker Kessler, you're protecting every shot at that point in time. Nick Claxton is available. The question is the Portland pick enough to get it done? They're not worried about Vooch. I mean, they already took Michael Porter Jr. back with 2 years left on his deal. So there's some precedence there for them taking veteran contracts back, and it being more about what they are either giving up or the picks that they're getting back in that. So that's something to look at there. I think that if Nick Claxton is truly available, when they decide that by this trade deadline, they want to move Claxton, I think the Bulls could get it done. And the Bulls could move to the front of the line, depending on what. There are going to be some other teams. I think the Pacers, They would love a player like Nick Claxton in there to replace, you know, Miles Turner. They're also hoping that Ben Mathurin and Nimhard and Neesmith take steps offensively as well. So they're hoping for some of the same things that the Bulls are hoping if they do get a guy like that. That's an interdivision rival. So there's that part of it. But I think just watch it, and I think just we'll see how it ends up going, right? So, but Nick Claxton is now also a player, much like Walker Kessler, who reportedly is available. And I'll tell you what, Vooch has shot the ball like shit so far in preseason. So the one aspect that Vooch does bring in offense, you know, it's not the decline that a lot of people have talked about, but if the Bulls really feel confident in their ability to make a move in the East this year, you may want to make that move for Nick Claxton. But let me know what you guys think on that down below. With that said, I want to get into this quote from Dalen Terry, right? Dalen Terry said this: "The last two seasons, I wasn't being myself. I was trying to be what people wanted me to be, and it's time for me to be myself. That's why I changed my number. Man, we're going to leave the past in the past. I'm trying to do what's best for the team and not worry about pleasing everyone." And I'll tell you what, when you saw yesterday Dalen Terry, and we've seen toughness from Dalen Terry before. I think it was Paul Reed. Maybe it was Isaiah Stewart last year that Dalen Terry got into it with as well. You need that edge for the team. You talk about physicality, you talk about edge, you need all of that for this team. And so if you're getting that from Dalen Terry, Dalen's going to have a rough go for minutes. He's one of those players competing with P. Will for minutes, right? But if there are going to be some times where you need a player to guard guards, and if Dalen Terry brings that toughness that the Chicago Bulls need, listen, play yourself. That's the only way that you're going to find your path in the NBA is being yourself. So I hope that Dalen does double down on that and is himself. That's what I hope. And I just wanted to talk about that quote because Dalen is one of these players that I love. Julian, I love Dalen, and I really do hate that this season that they're probably not going to really be in the rotation. I hope that they find a way to make their impact for this team because I root for players on this team. And Dalen's a guy that I think has the right mentality. He was just really raw when we drafted him, but I think there's still a lot of skill and potential in Dalen. Now, that may not be realized here, and that's fine. It comes with the territory. He wouldn't be the first one. He's not going to be the last that the Bulls draft and their potential is realized by another team. But there's still something there with Dalen that I'm not really necessarily ready to give up on yet. But we'll see. It depends on what Billy Donovan and how he views it. But let's get into these voicemails, man. This first one, this one's from Josh.
Yo, what's up? What's popping, Chicago Bulls Central, Hayes. This is Josh out in Arizona. So I just got three things to talk about on this call, and I'm trying to make each of them quick. First off, I'm calling around like halftime of this Bulls Bucks preseason game, and I gotta say, like, I thought that I quit on Patrick Williams, but with the aggressiveness that he's showing and, like, you know, putting some moves and putting bodies to the floor, trying to bully niggas out in the post and whatnot, I ain't gonna lie. I'm kind of, it would be really cool. It would be really good. Nice to see Patrick Williams actually be an NBA player. You feel me? An NBA level starter. In the NBA. So that would be cool. I ain't gonna lie. It sort of hyped me up a bit. I would really like to see him have some success this year because we have invested a lot in this kid. So, you know, there's that. Next, also in this game, I liked what I saw from, Noah Senge out there. And one thing that I did notice though is that Josh Giddey liked to feed Asenge a lot. He let him get a lot of touches. Also, like, they let Asenge bring the ball up a few times, which was really interesting to me. I think he might have a chance this season to get in a little faster than Modest did last season. On the defensive end, I really liked what I was seeing. He knows how to get fouls and to the foul line and whatnot, so he's a much smarter player than I think many of us would have thought in the beginning. So he might be out there sooner than we think, especially with advice from like Modest and Io and that. And then lastly, before the call hangs up, I seen a Bleacher Report on Instagram. They was talking about a Nick Claxton for Vucevic trade. I know that the trade ideas is, gonna be piling in and whatnot, but What do you think on a trade for Nick Claxton? They was talking about Vooch for Nick Claxton 101 plus the Portland pick that we have. And I thought it was interesting. So just let me know what you think. Have a good one.
I don't think that it sounds like P. Will is going to be starting the season. Based off the clip that I played from Billy Donovan, I do think he's going to be a solid rotational piece. And I think P. Will can thrive in that role. I think some of the promising things were like the minutes with him and Modest Bouzelis out there together. They were plus, minus, and plus everything when they were out there. And so I think that that's something that could really help this team also, you know, in certain scenarios, certain situations. I think that that's something that you can go to. If P. Will and Modest on the court together end up being something that the team, in times where they need a nice mix of offense, defense, they need some size, they need some switchability, you can do that. They had a positive net rating last night of 15, an offensive rating of 129. That's ridiculous, right? And a plus minus of plus six. So those things were really good last night. And I think that may be a key for P. Will. Playing positively, making the right shots, making the right moves, not getting too down on yourself, and just continue to play, and we'll see. As far as Noah Essengay, I think that Josh is going to be pivotal for Noah. Noah can't create his own shot yet. So Josh is going to help with that. He can be a lob threat with Josh Giddey out there. He can be that defense that can guard a lot of positions. We've already seen, like you said, the defensive ability of Noah Essengay. All those things are there. So I think that's going to be really help this Noah, and Josh is going to be really good for Noah, as is Trey Jones. Don't overlook Trey Jones, too. Trey is going to be important, and Io in transition for Noah. Those things are going to be important. And like you said, I do starting to think there's more of a chance for him to find his path on this one, man. But we'll see. And as far as Vooch for Claxton, I just talked about that. Go back to that segment, see that one. But all right, let's get into the next one. This one is from Brian Washington.
Hey, what's up, hey? It's your boy, Brian Washington from the West Side. Like my last message before, that's what I was talking about. Io coming off that bench. Now, bench stronger. It's like, that's my, I would love for Io to start. But like you say, he's going to get starter minutes regardless because of the player he is, the type of player he is. And I like the makeup of the bench. And that's what I'm looking forward to. Like, we can go deeper in our bench. It's like, that's what I'm looking at, how deep we can go in our bench. You know, that's what helps the team. That's what makes the team better when you got a deep bench. When players out, when players hurt, you know what I'm saying? They in foul trouble. You got some players you can count on coming off the bench. Io, Trey Young, Okoro, shit, Collins, Herter. You know what I'm saying? Those guys, that's a nice bench. And Jalen Smith, everybody. Pat T. Will need to get his shit together. You know what I'm saying? I think this is it for him. I don't care how good he be with another team. It's like, bro, it's on him. It's all about him. He needs to get his shit together. But other than that, I like the makeup of the team and us having a deep bench. That's what's going to get us there. That's what's going to make us a better team. You know, we ain't had it for a while. We didn't have those type players we can count on the bench, just maybe one or two, you know. But that's it. We got a nice little bench, and these guys hungry. They want to play, and that's what I like. That's what I like to see. So I'm liking the look of everything right now. But still, like you say, we got to – that when the real season begins, that's what we got to watch out. You know what I'm saying? They gotta play. That's all I want to say, man. Good morning and have a good day, man. Have a good weekend. Y'all stay safe.
The pace plus the deep bench for this team could be a competitive advantage that this team uses. Absolutely, right? I think that with the pace that we play, we're going to wear teams down. And if you're able to consistently go into that bench and trust your bench players, that's how you wear teams down. I do think the Billy Selling on the 9-man rotation is going to be important. And then that 10th guy is going to be situational. Who's playing the best? Do you need somebody who can guard more more guards and wings? Do you need somebody who can guard stronger and bigger players? That may fluctuate between Julian, Daylen, and P. Will. Jalen Smith in there a little bit too. I like what we have. We have players that legitimately, as 10th men, you can't doubt really what they bring. Now, the consistency is going to be part of that. For example, Jalen Smith hasn't shot the ball consistently yet. He's been very active at the rim on offense and defense, though, which is really good, right? So those things are all going to play a part into this. But I agree with you. The bench for the Chicago Bulls could be a big competitive advantage for them. We just got to see how it's going to all shake out. And that's why watching this rotation and how it develops over once the regular season starts is going to be really important for this team. But thank you for leaving those voicemails, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's my time for today. Make sure you guys are following us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullscentralpod@gmail.com. And lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. But that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.